So we're going to get going with our next presentation, which is Ford Motor Company, which needs no introduction, of course, being one of the world's largest vehicle manufacturers with operations in every region of the world. Ford has impressed investors in recent years by the degree to which it has rallied around the One Ford plan, streamlining its operations and greatly boosting profitability, certainly in North America. With us from Ford to tell us more, we're very happy to have Stuart Rowley. Stuart has spent, he just told me, his entire career at Ford after business school, much of it overseas in the Philippines, in Australia, in Sweden as the chief financial officer of Volvo. He was CFO of Ford of Europe, like some of our other speakers, before being appointed vice president and corporate controller just this April. We're very happy to have Stuart with us. Stuart, thanks for coming.
Okay, thank you, Ryan, and good afternoon, everybody. It's my pleasure to be here today. I'm joined by two of my colleagues here, Larry Heck and John Murphy, from our investor relations team. So I'd like to take you through a short presentation this afternoon, and then I think we'll have plenty of time for any questions that you may have. So if we can go. So this is the agenda I'll go through. I want to take you through our One Ford plan. I want to talk a bit about operating margins and break-even volume, a summary of our second quarter results, and then talk about our 2012 planning assumptions and key metrics. So first of all, you should recognize this slide. As you know, this is our One Ford plan, and it hasn't changed, and it continues to be our guide. And our plan is to aggressively restructure to operate profitably at the current demand and changing model mix, accelerate development of new products our customers want and value, finance our plan and improve our balance sheet, and work together effectively as one team. We'll serve all markets with a family of best-in-class vehicles, small, medium, and large, cars, utilities, and trucks, using our global scale to deliver profitable growth for all. We continue to make progress on all elements of our plan. The heart of our plan is accelerating development of new products our customers want and value. We continue to use the four-pillar approach to deliver best-in-class products, and I'll talk about that a little more later. The execution of our product plan, including our migration to global platforms, is accelerating. Our team is intensely focused on executing every element of our plan. Our product plan is driven by what we call our four-pillar strategy, meaning that our vehicles consistently excel in four key areas: quality, fuel efficiency, safety, and smart technology. Vehicles that have quality as good as or better than any of our competitors, products with the best or among the best fuel economy in each segment in which we compete, with either advanced internal combustion engines, hybrids, or all-electric powertrains. Vehicles with industry-best safety, both through excellent crash protection and advanced accident avoidance technologies. Vehicles with smart technologies like Ford Sync and My Ford Touch. And importantly, customers will see our well-rounded product excellence as a part of the overall value equation from Ford. We can already see payoffs from this strategy, and more importantly, so can our customers. In delivering our global product plan, we're consolidating vehicle platforms and leveraging common global top hats. You can see that the level of scale we'll achieve on our five global platforms. For example, we plan to have 11 top hats off our global C platform. And by 2016, 80% of our global volume will be from these five global platforms. What we realize from this plan is simple: more products, faster cadence of product, and better profitability. Many of you will recall our mid-decade outlook from our 2011 Investor Day. As discussed during last month's earnings release, we updated Ford Credit's return on equity outlook from low double digits to high single digits to reflect our plan to maintain managed leverage in the range of 8 to 9 to 1 for the foreseeable future. We're continuing to work towards delivering our mid-decade outlook. The outlook includes wholesales growing to about 8 million units annually and operating margins at 8%-10% for our North American business and 8%-9% globally. These are the levels of margins needed to support a healthy business on average over a business cycle. Returns should be higher in peak years, but will be lower during downturns. Since we view operating margins, along with break-even volumes, as key measures of our business, I'd like to discuss them in more detail on the following slides. This slide talks about operating margins. We view operating margin as a key measure of the performance of our business as a whole and for each of our operating regions. This slide gives our perspective on what we see as the key drivers of operating margin as we execute our plan. Volume and mix will improve as industry volumes grow from today's level of about 80 million units to over 100 million units by later in the decade. Additionally, we plan to grow our share of the global industry as we execute our product plan and our investment program in Asia Pacific and Africa, adding nine new plants in China, India, and ASEAN from 2012 to through 2015. We expect global product mix to continue the trend to smaller, more fuel-efficient vehicles, with a corresponding mitigating effect on margins. Revenue, driven by our improving brand image and product content, will be positive. On costs, we'll continue to benefit from productivity improvements and improving scale, while our increased investment in growing our business and increasing commodity costs will be a partial offset. Overall, we see our total global operating margin improving as we approach mid-decade. I'd now like to talk about the concept of break-even volumes and how we use that concept to manage our business. Our objective is to maintain profitability through the economic cycle for our business as a whole and for each of our operating regions. As you know, vehicle industry demand is highly exposed to economic cycles. Peak-to-trough industry volumes can move by as much as 35%-40%, even in mature markets, as we saw recently in the recession here in the U.S. In order to maintain profitability through an economic downturn, we must structure our business with a break-even level at trend economic conditions to sustain profitability through such a downturn. Through the execution of our One Ford plan, we've achieved such a structure in our core North American business. This business is generating operating margins in the 8%-10% range at U.S. industry volumes of around 40 million units, still significantly below trend levels. Through continued control of our costs and margins, our break-even level remains at about a 10 million unit industry level in the U.S. Moving forward, break-even volume, in conjunction with our One Ford plan, will be our guide as we work to improve the results and our structure in our valued European business. In the Asia Pacific region, where we're presently underrepresented, we'll utilize the break-even volume concept to establish a target structure for our business in a fast-growing industry environment. Improvements in scale through the implementation of our One Ford plan will enhance our ability to maintain a break-even level that is low relative to trend volumes across our business by reducing contribution costs and reducing the amount of structural costs required to support growth. Now I'd like to say a few words about to summarize our second quarter results. In the second quarter, we delivered our 12th consecutive quarterly pre-tax operating profit. We generated positive automotive operating related cash flow for the ninth consecutive quarter, and we ended the period with just under $34 billion of liquidity. Wholesale volume and revenue were lower than a year ago. Operating results featured an excellent pre-tax profit and operating margin in North America and another solid quarter of performance at Ford Credit. Results for South America were slightly better than break-even, while Europe and Asia-Pacific Africa incurred losses. We're continuing to implement our One Ford plan. This includes aggressively restructuring to operate profitably at current demand and changing model mix, as well as accelerating the development of new products that our customers want and value. The One Ford plan has been our roadmap through the successful restructuring of our North American business. The path we followed through the recent recession, the foundation of the dramatic improvement in our automotive balance sheet, and the basis of our growth strategy for Asia-Pacific Africa. It remains our guide as we address the new challenges that we face today. This slide summarizes our first half results and our planning assumptions and key operational metrics for 2012. Industry volumes are unchanged from our prior guidance, although US industry volume based on recent months' results could be at the lower end of our forecast range. We expect US and Europe full-year market share to be lower compared with 2011, and we continue to expect quality to be mixed. We're maintaining our guidance in the following areas. Ford North America, we expect significantly higher full-year pre-tax profit and operating margins compared with 2011. For our third quarter, we see a continuation of the strong bottom-line performance we saw in the second quarter, adjusted for the impact of vacation shutdowns and the launch of the all-new Ford Fusion, which together are expected to reduce production by almost 50,000 units in North America. This is consistent with the production guidance of 690,000 units that we provided in our second quarter earnings release. For Ford Credit, a pre-tax profit of about $1.5 billion. For automotive structural costs, an increase of less than $2 billion compared with 2011, and positive full-year operating-related cash flow. Given business conditions primarily in Europe and South America, we now expect automotive pre-tax operating profit an automotive operating margin to be about equal to or lower than 2011, and total company pre-tax operating profit to be strong but lower than last year. We also expect capital spending to be lower at about $5 billion, reflecting primarily efficiencies. In closing, the One Ford plan is our vehicle to deliver profitable growth. Our plan is unchanged. Focus on operating margins and break-even volume is a fundamental part of our plan. Total company first half profit was strong, driven by our business in North America and by Ford Credit. We have made tremendous progress in recent years by executing the fundamentals of our One Ford plan, and we're working towards our mid-decade guidance. Looking ahead, our plan will continue to guide us as we work to sustain our strong North American operation and to grow our important Ford Credit business while addressing the diverse challenges and opportunities we have in other parts of the world. We are still in the early stages of reaping the benefits of our One Ford plan, our roadmap to deliver great products, a stronger business, and a better world. We remain confident in our One Ford plan and our ability to deliver profitable growth for all. And with that, I'm happy to take any questions that you may have.
Thanks. Clearly, you're doing very, very well in North America and in Ford Credit. As we do look around the world, though, all of your profits are really being made on an automotive basis only in North America. And I think you have a very clear path to good profits in Asia Pacific. You've communicated that on several different occasions. But just addressing Europe and South America, which has historically been fairly profitable, Can you maybe walk us through the extent to which the difficulties that you face there are cyclical in nature or, you know, have a structural element to it?
Yes, no, I'd be happy to talk about that. First of all, I think the two regions that you raise, South America and Europe, are really different situations to each other. And maybe if I take South America first, you know, we've been very profitable in the recent past in South America, and we've seen a fall off in our results this year. And there's a number of factors involved in that we've discussed previously. Some of them are related to where we are in the cycle of our business. In the first half of this year, we've been in launch mode for some new products in South America, two very important products, our all-new Ranger that we'll launch in Argentina. We started that in the second quarter. And then later this year, we'll launch the new EcoSport in Brazil, which is a very important product for us there and replaces what is a very aged product that we presently have in the market. So that's that's been maybe a weakness in the first half that will change to being a strength as we move forward. But in addition to that, there are some external factors or some environmental factors that are impacting us in South America. Trade issues between the South American countries, including Mexico. Some competitive issues. There's a lot of capacity going in particular into Brazil, and that's maybe depressed somewhat the pricing environment in Brazil relative to the recent past. And then some other environmental related issues regarding currency and access to foreign exchange. As you know, in Venezuela, that's a controlled currency, and there've been some issues more recently in Argentina. So there, it's a variety of factors, some of which through our own plans we'll see a stronger product lineup. But there are some underlying issues that we need to consider. So we're looking at all aspects of our business in South America. What we are clear is that South America is now part of our One Ford plan. We're in the process of executing our global product strategy in South America, so that business will benefit from world-class products off our global platforms and the scale that they bring. But we're also reviewing the other parts of our business and our structure in South America and how we can best structure the business to take advantage of the growing market, but within the national environment that we see there. So we do have some more work to do in South America. In terms of Europe, that's a very different situation. The first thing, and we've had a number of discussions with some of you earlier today, is it's important to remember our business in Europe. We've been profitable in Europe for six of the last eight years. We made about $2 billion of profit during that period. So Europe's been a profitable business for us, not to the level that we would like, but it has been profitable. And as early as the first half of last year, we made almost $500 million in the European market. It's also a very large and important part of our business. It's about a quarter of our global volume. And Europe, obviously, as a market, is important to all OEMs. It's a key source of technology, and there are many consumers who we've served for many years, and we will continue to serve in Europe. That said, our results in the last 12 months in Europe are not acceptable, and we need to address that situation. And we're in the process of developing our plans to do just that, and we've said that we'll communicate those to all stakeholders involved at the appropriate point in time. But to your question, clearly there are cyclical issues at play today, and we're in a downturn, but we don't view the situation, though, to be fundamentally a cyclical issue. It's not something that we expect to bounce back just with the economic cycle. We view the issues to be more structural, and we need to consider them in that context, and we will develop our plans accordingly.
Just to dovetail off that question, if it is a structural problem, I mean, do you think we can get through this just by muddling along and hopefully volume to come back, or do we conversely need the capacity reduction to happen?
So, well, we certainly don't think that muddling along is the strategy. We need to have a comprehensive plan to address our situation in Europe. Now, you know, there's questions around what the rest of the industry will do. Clearly, we can't control what the rest of the industry will do, and it's our intent to address our issues and to take the actions that we think are right for our business. And we are looking, and then our plan will address all aspects of our business. So they will address and look at our costs and our structural costs, but they'll also, you know, look at our product portfolio and our brand, because we're going to have to work all elements of that plan to get our business not just back to profitability, but to a level of appropriate profitability that we need for our business. And a part of that will be cost, but the cost alone cannot get us to where we need to be. And I think if you look back at what we did in our North American business, I think that's a good guide for how we'll approach our thinking in addressing our plan. We continued to invest in our product plan through the actions that we took in North America, because we need fully competitive products and we need to be able to command fully competitive revenue. So we need to work all parts of the plan: cost, brand, product, and that is what we'll do.
I guess you can't cut your way to prosperity. That never works, right?
Right.
And then the second question, could you prioritize your use of liquidity? You guys are generating cash, and it's a high-class problem, but if you could just go through and rank your uses of that.
Well, I guess I'm not in the position to share a ranking here, but clearly we've got many calls on capital, and we develop a comprehensive capital allocation plan. We have to invest in our business, we have to invest in our products, our balance sheet, whether it be debt, whether it be our pension funds, and clearly we need to reward our shareholders. So our plan that we review regularly with our board considers all of those calls on capital, and it will continue to do so.
When you ask a quick question, can you please state your name and company? Thank you.
Hi, I'm Michael Schrag of Schrag Capital. Can you give us an update on your light truck trends in North America, your product plans, and what are your mileage per goal plans for the light truck segment, and how important is that?
Larry may be able to provide me more detail with what we've shared. You're talking particularly about the pickup truck segment. Larry, why don't you maybe take that one?
What was the complete question? I'm sorry, I was writing down.
It's basically light truck segment, your product plans there, your goals, and your mileage goals also in that segment.
Well, clearly the biggest impact that we've had on the light truck or the F-150 has been, as you probably have heard, the EcoBoost, the twin turbocharged V6. Introduced that about a year and a half ago. At this point, we have about 45% of our retail sales. The customers are taking that engine, and it is an upgrade to the 5-liter V8, so they do pay an additional almost $1,000 above the V8 price. But the capability of it has better fuel economy than a V8, but it actually has more horsepower, torque, payload capacity, more capability than the 5-liter, and actually more than some 6-liter V8s. So clearly the EcoBoost is an area that we're continuing to strengthen, not just in light trucks, but across the cars. By next year, we'll have 85% of our vehicles in the U.S. offering EcoBoost, from small cars up to trucks. Beyond that, on the F-150 itself, I know there's a lot of articles and so forth that are talking about what our next generation truck will look like. We have not provided anything officially on that yet.
Could you give me some understanding of your anticipation of market share diminishment, and what would be the underlying reason for that, and when that would turn around?
So, as I pointed out on our guidance, we're projecting lower market share in both North America, in the U.S. and Europe in 2012. We're not providing now in terms of North America this year. A couple of drivers behind that, and some of those we saw in the second quarter. We did discontinue two product lines late last year, the Crown Victoria and Grand Marquis, which participated, of course, in some of the government fleet markets, and then the compact pickup truck, the Ranger, which maybe was more biased towards some retail sales. So they've impacted our share during the first half of the year. Of course, as has the restocking of the Japanese as they've recovered from the tsunami effects in the first half of last year, as well as some increased competition, particularly in the small passenger car segments that we've seen in the first half of this year. Going forward, we're not providing guidance in terms of forward-looking share beyond 2012. What we can say and have said, however, though, is that we've added quite significant production capacity in North America in 2012. Already in the second quarter, we've added incremental production shifts at our Michigan assembly plant, where we build the Focus, in Chicago, where we build the Taurus and the Explorer, and at Kansas City, where we build the F-Series. And then in the third quarter, in fact, about now, we're adding a third shift at our Louisville plant where we build the Escape. And the sum of all of that is by the end of the year, we'll have about 400,000 units more production capacity in the North American market than we had coming into the year. Now, of course, in terms of share, things will depend on where the total market goes. But that combined with the new products we have this year, principally the Escape, and now the Fusion that we're launching right now, will underpin our business going forward. In terms of Europe, maybe somewhat different. Europe, our share has been pretty stable for some time, about the last 10 years, or around the 8.5% level. Really, what's driving share in Europe now is, given the environment, given the weak industry, is the sort of competitive behaviors and how and to what extent we conclude to participate in that. So there's a lot of discounting, there's a lot of pursuing of some of the sales channels that we also participate in, but the level to which we and our competitors participate in those will determine where our share is. We think it's very important to focus on and maintain margins as we look to address our issues in Europe.
Just to follow up on that, at least one of your competitors has been very clear that he's going to go out with added capacity, even though he's at full capacity, rather than take pricing. You've just given us 400,000 of additional capacity coming online. In light of your comment that we may be closer to the 14 million mark for this year, can you talk a little bit about what we can expect on pricing, particularly on existing vehicles, not for the new Focus, the new Fusion, but on what are your thoughts about actually trying to take some pricing in this market environment?
So maybe just to clarify on the industry comment, so our guidance range for North America is 14.5 to 15. And we said maybe at the lower end of that range. In terms of pricing, we're continuing to see good pricing in North America. We're not making the level of gains that we'd made maybe in some of the recent years. We were at a discount previously to some key competition. We've really effectively closed that gap, and that's driven our profitability in the recent past. We're continuing to see good pricing. For instance, with the launch of our new products, the recent Escape, we're seeing strong demand, and we're getting good revenue for that product. So we are focused on continuing to maintain what are very healthy margins, but at the same time to participate in the industry recovery as that comes, and that's that's why we're putting in place the capacity to to benefit from that. But we're not trading share for margin right now. We have strong margins. We're going to maintain strong margins, but we're also going to be fully competitive on our pricing.
Could you review for us your China strategy? I know roughly you have 2% of the Chinese market now. Are you going it alone, JVs, and what particular product areas are you going to concentrate on?
Yes, no, I'd be happy to. So we, you know, in terms of the growth of our business, Asia Pacific Africa is core to our growth strategy. We are underrepresented today. The two largest markets are China and India, and we have plans for both of those markets. To specifically address China, we, as you most likely know, we're required to have a partner in China. We have two partners with Chang'an, our joint venture's CFMA, on the passenger car side, and we have a partner on the commercial vehicle side with a JMC business, Jiangling Motors. So, two separate partners. In terms of our strategy, we're investing heavily to grow our volume and share in China. So we recently launched our third assembly facility at CFMA, Chongqing 2 plant. We've announced our third CFMA facility that will come online with CFMA 2. We increased our capacity by about a third to 600,000 units. We've announced CFMA 3 that comes on stream in 2014. We'll add another approximately 250,000 units. And then we announced another assembly facility in Hangzhou, which will take our total passenger car capacity up to 1.2 million units. So we'll double from today's level, and that production capacity strategy is then underpinned by bringing a suite of products to the market. Most recently, we've introduced the all-new Focus in second quarter of this year. And on the commercial vehicle side, with JMC, JMC are in the process of launching their second assembly facility, and our principal product there is our Transit commercial vehicle, which is one of our five global platforms. So it's by far the most aggressive growth strategy we've had in Ford Motor Company in decades, around China, but and also around India. In India, we announced our second assembly facility, as well as an engine plant, in addition, we've recently launched a second assembly facility in Thailand, our Ford Thailand manufacturing facility. So, two facilities there.
Could you talk about raw material cost benefits in the various regions, given metal prices falling? And likewise, can you talk about any benefits from a stronger U.S. dollar, if there are any?
If I talk about commodity prices, and we don't see any, you know, I wouldn't differentiate significantly between the regions. We've communicated that this year we expect year-on-year net of hedging gains or losses a non-material impact on our results in 2012 compared to 2011 as a result of commodity prices. Clearly, commodity prices have softened recently. If, you know, that continues to be the trend, we will benefit from that in our material cost base, but our underlying assumptions are, you know, we're not planning on any, you know, significant additional weakening there. In terms of the US dollar, It's not significant in terms of the way it impacts our results. Our U.S. business is largely a domestic business, so some other cross rates do affect our business in our non-North America regions, but not from the U.S. dollar.
I'm wondering, with regard to K2XX launch by General Motors, would you see a need for a competitive response, or is the assumption basically that they'll clearly get more customers out of their own base?
K2XX is the pickup truck?
Yeah.
So clearly the pickup truck business is absolutely core to our business, and it has been our plan and continues to be our plan to remain fully competitive in that segment. We have taken a number of actions this year, and we've got other actions planned. Now there will be our competitors also take actions, and there are differences in our product cycles as we proceed, but we are and will continue to invest in our F-150 business to be fully competitive, and that will continue to be a very strong player in that market.
Yeah, this is Eric Selle, J.P. Morgan. Thus far in Europe, the OEMs have basically held up volumes with incentives. Do you foresee fatigue setting in to a point where the OEMs pull those incentives and kind of let volumes drop, or right now we're just all playing ball and keep it up for everybody?
Yeah, I think we've seen some of that to an extent already. So if we look back at 2011, and we talk about the Europe 19 region, and we include light commercial vehicles, but the industry ran at about 15.3 million units last year. It did soften in the second half, but when we came into 2012, we saw a shift, and the market moved really to a 14 million unit level. And I think we saw generally maybe more pricing discipline during the first quarter, but at a consequently lower industry run rate. We saw an increase in incentive activity in the second quarter, but still maybe I think we're at about 14.1, 14.2 million unit run rate in the second quarter, but with higher incentives. We haven't seen any I'd say material change since then. We did see a July run rate that was sub 14. So I think the industry does have an appetite for volume as well as considers the levels of incentives there that are in the market. We can only manage our business. We're very focused on margins, and we look to manage that and look which parts of the business we participate in. I'd say clearly the underlying demand level is lower than the actual level we're seeing, given the level of incentives. So that could continue to develop.
And in that regard, seeing what happened in North America, do you think that it requires a major restructuring of one of the companies to get union concessions, or do you think it's more formulaic over there? It's $200,000 per head, and you can go to the union and negotiate it. Does it need that Delphi bankruptcy to wake up the union, or can you go in there with the local laws and have enough flexibility?
I'm not sure I can comment on such a catalyst. I can only comment on the way we look at our business. There's a lot of questions about what the industry will do. Will there be a coordinated response? We can't predict what our competitors will do. There's a lot of commentary in the market. We can only conclude to manage our business. That's what we intend to do. We need to work with our stakeholders to find the right solution to our business, but it's our intent to address our business, cost, product, and brand, and to return our business to profitability and to generate appropriate returns. So that's going to be our the approach we'll take. Any other questions?
Ryan? Sure. I guess this will be the last question then. Some of your rivals have had a tremendous amount of success with luxury brands in China, BMW and Audi, and Cadillac's trying to edge their way in there. I know you're focused around the Ford brand globally. Is there any opportunity to make Lincoln into another global brand and perhaps offer them for sale in China?
So, as you rightly point out, we're focused on the Ford brand and on Lincoln, and we've communicated that we plan to make we're investing in our Lincoln product lineup to make that a fully competitive premium brand here in the U.S. We haven't made any statements about taking the Lincoln brand outside of North America. So.
Thank you.